Conclusion of Chapter 10, Madhyakanda, Mahaprakash Lila. And Vrindavanas Thakur is mentioning some verses yesterday. He was reminding us again about the perennial enemy of the sadhaka, this ninda. And he's saying that if we just avoid offenses to the holy name, we can easily conquer the unconquerable Lord Chaitanya. Then we heard that Bhagavad Dharma, what is the teaching of Bhagavad Dharma? Yesterday we said that Bhagavad Dharma teaches that one should offer respects to others. Sabhara Saman. Sabhara Saman Bhagavad Dharma Hai. Complete respect. We should respect others not only officially with the movements of our body, but internally with the movements of our mind and heart. It's much more important. Respect is a respectful attitude, a respectful mentality. This is the pervading consciousness of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Trinadapi sunechena, turaiva suheshuna, amanina manidena, kirtaniya sadahari. So now today's verse 314. Madhyakanda kata jena amritera kanda maha nimba hinavase yateka pashanda. Vrindavandas Thakur is telling, the topics of Madhyakanda are just like nectar. Amrita kanda, all the pastimes, the middle pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are like nectar. Yet the atheists consider the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya to be as bitter as nimba, which means neem. Neem leaves or neem fruits are very bitter. And the analogy is that the crows, everyone knows the crows, the black birds with the wonderful voices, the crows, they are very fond of neem fruits. They actually eat them. And that's why they have such a nice voice. And then the parrots, the tota, they like the mangoes. They especially like mangoes, ripe mangoes, not chutney. They like ripe mangoes. And their voices are so beautiful, the parrots. They're always glorifying the pastimes of Radharani and Vrindavan and Gauranga and Mayapur. Once Nimai Pandit was sitting under some trees, some neem trees. He was sitting under some neem trees. It's interesting about the parrots. Parrots like to sit in the neem trees, but they eat the fruits of the mango. And the crows, they don't sit in a neem tree, but they come and eat the fruits. So one day, Nimai Pandit and Jagananda Pandit, they were class friends, childhood friends. They were sitting under a neem tree on the bank of the Ganga. And there were two parrots in the neem tree. And Nimai looked up at the parrots and he pointed and he commanded them, Radha Govinda Bole, Radha Govinda Bole, Radha Govinda Bole. He told them, please chant the glories of Radha Govinda. And the parrots, although hearing Nimai Pandit's request, they responded by saying, Gora, 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 Gora. Our Govinda is Gore, and our Radha is Ra. They said, you are our Gora, Gora, you are our Govinda, and you are our Radha. So they replied, when Nimai Pandit commanded the parrots to chant Radha Govinda, they replied, Gora, 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 Gora. And then Nimai said, what is this? I'm telling you to chant Radha Govinda. And then he said, you chant Radha Govinda. And again they chanted Gora, and then Lord Chaitanya chased them and they flew away. So this, of course, Radha Govinda is, Gora is Radha Govinda, and Radha Govinda are Gora. So these parrots, they were relishing the sweet nectar of Gora's name, preferring that over the name of Radha Govinda. So Radha Govinda becomes Gore in Mayapur Dham. That's interesting. There's a verse about this, which I didn't realize. Text 315 and 316. Keha jena sharkaraya nimba swarupai tara deva Sharkarava swadu nahi jai, e mata chetanjera parananda yasha, shunite na payasuka haya daiva vasha. Vrindavan Das Thakur is telling, if someone considers the taste of sugar candy to be bitter, that is his misfortune. For sugar candy never loses its sweetness. In the same way, one does not feel happy. If one doesn't feel happy after hearing the blissful glories of Lord Chaitanya, he is very unfortunate. It's 3:17. Sanyasiyo jari nahi mane gora chandra janiha se kala jana janma janma anda. You should know, even a sannyasi who does not accept Gaurachandra, then that crooked person remains blind birth after birth. So this is referring to the, of course, the karma sannyasi, or the sannyasi who is following ashram dharma. If he blasphemes Lord Gaurasundara by finding fault with him, then such a fault finder, even though he may be sannyasi in varnashram dharma, he remains blind birth after birth because he doesn't accept Lord Chaitanya, and moreover he blasphemes him, then he'll be blind. He's blind to the real truth. The real truth. Krishna is telling in Gita that he is Vedanta. He is the conclusion of Vedanta. Conclusion of Vedanta, the end of the Vedanta is prema, Gauranga prema, Radha Govinda prema. So sannyasi who blasphemes the Lord, he's blaspheming Radha Govinda. He's blaspheming Krishna, and ultimately, he's not a Vedantist. Even if he's an Advaitin sannyasi, a follower of Shankar, nevertheless, he will remain blind to the actual truth of Vedanta. Pakshi matra jaribale chaitanyara nam se satya jayaveka chaitanjara dham. If even a pakshi, a bird, chants Lord Chaitanya's name, it will certainly attain Lord Chaitanya's abode. So a very nice purport in Saraswati Thakur. He's saying even a stupid living entity like a bird who has no knowledge of their Krishna Sambandha, if they imitate the sound Sri Chaitanya, you may be in Calcutta or in Russia or somewhere, and if you have a pet bird, a minor bird or parrot, cockatiel, whatever it is, and you train them to say Sri Chaitanya, if they can attain the abode of Sri Chaitanya Dev. Animals, birds, trees, creepers, and ignorant people in Srinath Mayapur attain good fortune by hearing the topics of Sri Chaitanya Dev. So, this is the... everyone who's hearing these topics, or anyone who's hearing any glories of Lord Chaitanya, even if they're a tree or a bird or an animal, they will become fortunate. So here, Vrindavan Das Thakur is glorifying the name of the Lord, how it's so powerful that one will attain the holy dham by repeating the name of Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Gora Chandra Nityanandera Jivan Tara Nityananda Mora Hao Pranadhan. All glories to Gora Chandra, the Jivan, the life of Nityananda. May your Nityananda be my wealth and life. Amora Nityananda, how pran dhan. May Mora Nityananda, this is Mamata Bhav. This is described in Bhajan Rahasyam. In Bhajan Rahasyam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the principle of Mamata Bhav, the feeling of mine. And this is also in the song glorifying the Vaishnavas. Mora Raghunath, Mora Sarup. Where is my Raghunath Das gone? Mora Sarup Damodar. Where is my Sarup Damodar gone? So each devotee is feeling that the Lord is mine. My Gornitai. Oh, you have your Nittai Gaurasundara deities. Well, I have my Nittai Padakamala. I have my Nittai Gaurachandra. So, same deity, same Lord Nityananda, same Lord Chaitanya. But we have this feeling. It is a feeling. It is a necessary feeling. It is a desirable feeling. It is one of the attributes of prema, to feel possessive. We see that even in material relationships, that mothers feel very possessive for their children. And wives, they very much appreciate if the husband feels possessive towards the wife. And when they, before you get married, you're Krishna Das. And after you're married, you say, this woman is my wife. And before marriage, the lady's name is Radha Dasi. And after marriage, she says, this man is my husband. That my is spelled with capital M, capital Y. M, Y. That's the question, why? My husband. And it's interesting when you're in a neutral position, brahmachari sannyasi, and when you hear, if you're actually sensitive, because devotees are sensitive listeners. Our life is based on shravana dasha, the ability to hear with proper oral reception, to hear with submission, to hear with humility, and to hear with responsive desire. A responsive desire to transform. It's called transformational hearing. We want to hear the philosophy with a desire to transform our consciousness, our behavior, and our activities. This is transformational hearing. So therefore, having this keen sense of hearing, when devotees are engaged in social intercourse or discussions and discourses, and they meet some grihasthas, and they say, oh, where is Krishna Das? And then the lady, the wife, might say, well, my husband is in the temple. But when she says the word my, the wife says the word my in relation to my husband, the sensitive listener, he hears so much, there's so much bhav, there's so much attachment, there's so much energy and that those two letters, my, I mean, my, it's not just two letters, it's a whole life. It's a whole life, it's a whole heart, it's a whole consciousness are in those two letters, my husband. And when you hear that, my husband, it's like you become afraid. You hear that, my, and you think, wow, this is dangerous stuff. Yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukami tucham. Yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukami tucham. This attraction between man and woman is so powerful that all that attraction, that sum total the attraction of the material world, that matunya ghara, the shackles of sex life, when the person says, my husband or my wife, and you hear it from the neutral position of, say, sannyasi brahmachari, then it resonates in your mind, this is serious. This woman really thinks, my husband. And this man really thinks and believes to the core of their being, my wife. And it's frightening. Oh, hey Bhagavan, hey Gurudev. Please don't. I want to have my Gurudev and my Giridhari and my Thakurji and my Madhav and my Gaur and my Nisringadev. I don't want my wife and I don't want my husband. I want all that. When you hear that resonance, that emotional resonance in the sound of the voice. They say you're reading a book and then between the lines. What is the book saying between the lines? So what are those two words saying when husband or wife says my wife or my husband? So much purport is there. So much emotion, so much attachment. Of course, it's good. It is good for the preservation of a civilized culture that this is my husband and my only husband and my only partner, and this is my wife and my only wife and my only partner. This is good. This is proper. This is religious. This is dharmic. So this is called mamta. Mamata. Sometimes they say mamta or mamata. Mamata bhav. It's deep. It's strong feeling. And this is what the Vaishnavas have for other Vaishnavas. Mora Prananath, Mora Raghunath, Mora Surab Damodar, Mora Bhatta Raghunath, Jayanila Prima Dana. Right? There's that song. It says Mora. This word is very powerful. So Vrindavan Das Thakur, he, his Ishtadev, his worshipful Lord is Nityananda. He's a worshipper of Lord Nityananda. But he's praying to Lord Chaitanya in this verse. He's saying, he says, Nityananda Jivan, all glories to Gaurachandra. Who is Gaurachandra? He's Nityananda Jivan. He is the life of Nityananda. And so since he is the life of Nityananda, then I pray, may your Nityananda be my life and wealth. So he's saying, your Nityananda, let him be my prana and dhan. Right? We say, Krishna, Shradavan Janahe, Shradavan Janahe, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Dana Pran. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, Shradavan Janahe, O men of faith, O faithful men, O believing men, you should understand, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Dana Pran, that Krishna is my mother. He's Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita. Krishna is my mother, Krishna is my father. He's a dan and pran. He's the wealth of my very life. He is my pran, my very life's breath. And he's the wealth and true treasure of my life and nothing else. So this mamata bhav is very important. As Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying that you have, that it's your Nityananda. And let him become my Nityananda also. My Gurudev. Even sometimes I was explaining this mamata bhav, sometimes I would speak with my brother and he would talk about my mother, or our mother, and he would sometimes say, my mother. My older brother was saying, well, I was talking to my mother was saying, and I said, wait a minute, she's my mother too. Oh yeah, excuse me, our mother. But it was a natural feeling. It was just saying that, although it wasn't really correct. I mean, there's one mother and there was two brothers of the same mother, not cousin brothers or Indian style, cousin brothers, same mata. He said, yes, I was talking to my mother yesterday and she said, I said, really? I said, well, I was talking to my mother also. My mother said this, and your mother is only one mother. So even in a family situation, sometimes brothers are saying, my mother. Another brother is saying, my mother. So to cultivate this mamta is very important. Because this is actually, this goes to have my Sachinandan, my Gaurahari. Because everything is personal. Personal means possession. Personal, like you say, this is my personal telephone, this is my personal room, these are my personal clothes. So we say my phone. Hey, where's my cell phone? Oh, you left it on the table. It's over there. Gotcha. So where's my prananath? Mora prananath. So this mood, this feeling that the Lord is mine, we should cultivate this. And this is desirable. It's not the generic Lord. Oh, Panchatattva, he's the Lord for everyone. I don't know about your Panchatattva, but my Panchatattva, and my Gaurasundar, my Sachinandan. So this is one point we can consider cultivating. And because the Lord, as it's told, he has individual relationship with each devotee. Like sometimes the question is asked, in the spiritual world, Krishna is surrounded by his eternal associates. And then there's so many newcomers coming, sadhana, siddha, personalities, people that attain perfection by sadhana or by kripa, kripa and sadhana. And they attain siddhadeha, sort of city, then take birth in Bhoma Vrindava and then attain Vastu city and directly enter the Nitya Lila and Goloka Vrindavan. So how does the Lord accommodate and adjust all those thousands and thousands of newcomers? Every year so many people get liberated, so many people become perfect, so many devotees become premis, attain prema, and they join the Lord's entourage. It seems that it will get very crowded up there. It's getting crowded here in the Mangalarti. And when there's a city of 60,000 people, you have to take a ticket. Every 3 months you get to attend Mangalarti. Because there's no room. Your place will be reserved because every 3 months there'll be an opening. Then your turn. Then you can come. Like you go to some busy doctor and you have to wait for 3 hours or you come back the next day. He has so many people to see the doctor. Even some places they have numbers on a board. There's Dr. Triguna in Nizamuddin in Delhi. He's a famous Vaidya, Ayurvedic doctor. And he has when you go there, you register with the guy and he gives you a number. And he has a board, there's an electronic board that goes, Bing, 127, Bing, 128. And there's 200 people waiting to see him. So if you go there one more, you may go there, say, today on Tuesday. And then you go in the morning and you get the number 120. That means that there was 119 people yesterday that didn't get, you're there the first one. So 119 people are already left over. So then you're there all day or for 4 hours and he gets up to 115, 116 and then he closes. And you have to come back the next day. He's so busy. But it's not like that. There's Mamta. We possess Krishna. He says, Aham Bhakta Pradino. Krishna says, Aham Bhakta Pradino. He says, I am controlled by my bhaktas. So this is for all bhaktas. For all the pure devotees of the Lord, Krishna's control. Aham Bhakta Pradino. Ya not he aswatantra. He says, aswatantra. This is in 10th canto, I believe, in Bhagavatam, or maybe 9th canto. He's saying that I am controlled by my devotees. Aswatantra. Swatantra. I'm Swatantra Bhagavan. I am the transcendental autocrat. I am completely independent. Swarat. Abhigya. Abhigya and Swarat. And Bhagavan is Abhigya. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Sadeshvarya Purna. And he's Swarat. He's independent. But he's saying Aswatantra. I'm not independent. In front of my devotee, I'm not independent. I am controlled. Aham Bhakta Pradino. So therefore, when we go to the spiritual world, there will be so many Krishnas and so many Kunjas and so many Radhas to accommodate everyone. So there will be, as we cultivate now, my Krishna, my Madhav, my Radha, my Lalita Sakhi, my Rupa Manjari. Oh my Rupa Manjari, oh my Rupa Goswami, when will you be kind to me? When will you give your mercy to me? So in the spiritual world, it is like this. There's so many, there's hundreds of Seva Kunjas and hundreds of Nidibhans. And we'll be there. Our Guru Varg, our line of Gurus, we'll be there in our Guru, Paranguru, Paraguru, and all the way up the line, all the Gurus and Guardians of Devotion. And we'll be there with one Lalita Sakhi and Asta Sakhis and Radha Madhav, and we'll all be doing Seva all together. And we don't know anything. We have no cognizance or awareness of these other Nidibhans and these other Seva Kunjas. We'll have our Krishna. This is how it's described. Exactly like the Ras Lila, or when Krishna married all the princesses, the Swayam Prakash, the Krishna is fully Krishna. Each gopi was thinking, Krishna is with me alone. There's 16,108 gopis, and Krishna was there for each one of them. And there was one special Krishna. Swayam Prakash was with everyone, but Swayam Bhagavan was in the middle with Radharani. Because Krishna never takes a step away from Radharani. And Radharani never takes a step away from Krishna. So this is a very special form, the form that's with Radharani, forms with Krishna. So this is the situation for all of us, because in that circle, in that circle, the Rasa dance and Maharas dance that one Krishna was dancing with one gopi, some of those gopis were sadhana siddha gopis, the municharis and the rishicharis from Gopi Vastraharana. When they were 6 years old, Krishna stole their clothes in this very month, Katyayani Vrata, in the Purnima this month. So they were 6 years old and Krishna was seven. And he promised them, he said, a year from now, I will accept you. So a year later, they were 7 years old and Krishna was eight. That's the Maharas dance in the full moon night of the Sharad season. And then all those sadhana siddha gopis, they were dancing in the Ras Mandal. Krishna and Gopi, Krishna, Gopi, Krishna, Gopi. But they danced with Swayam Prakash. So the direct expansion, everything looking same, body, but some difference in bhav. So the Swayam Bhagavan, the complete form with all the special bhavas for Radharani, that form was remaining with Radharani. So similarly, these were sadhana siddha gopis, and they had their individual Krishna, more my Krishna. So we are also sadhana. We are sadhakas, we are practicing sadhana. So we also have our Krishna, my Krishna. Of course, we may, generally in Gaudiya Vaishnava, we don't become sakis in the sense of having nayaka bhav, but we become mandris or coward boys, whatever. So we'll have our group of coward boys, if that's our sthayi bhav, or permanent mellow. Our gurugan of coward boys, and then Sridham Subal, and our own group. So even here we cultivate my Krishna, and there we have my Krishna. Otherwise it'll get really crowded. Really crowded up there. It'll be like another freeway or the autobahn during rush hour or something. Hey, watch out. Hey, come on. I'll be the first to touch Krishna. It sounds like that when they say, I'll be the first to touch Krishna. Yeah, because there's 10,000 coward boys, and they're all, hey, you know. It's not like you have to know kung fu in order to serve Krishna. Yeah. You have to chop all the other coward boys and run up forward. Now, everyone will be accommodated. Absolute love is absolutely accommodating. Like everywhere, there's one phrase we heard, everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. So this is the spiritual world. Everywhere circumference means a circle. So here, everywhere there's circumference, nowhere center. Circumference means I have my circle of interest, right? Circle, which means circumference. I have my circle of interest, and you have your circle of interest. Pakistan has their circle of interest. India has their circle of interest. China has their circle of interest. Then they come together and they clash, because nowhere's center. We don't agree on the center. But in Krishna's land and Krishna's dominion, everywhere the center, nowhere circumference. Because everyone's center, the center of the cows, the deer, the birds, Yashoda, Nanda, Subal, Sridham, Lalita, Vishaka, Radharani, Chandravali, everyone, Paksha, Vipaksha, Surit, or Tatasta, everyone, the center of everyone is Krishna. There's common ground, common center. So the phrase that's spoken is everywhere center, nowhere circumference. So this is what he's praying. Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, Oh my Lord Chaitanya, may your Nityananda become my pranandan. Jara jara sange tumi karila vihar se sava goshtira paye mora namaskar. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I offer my respectful obeisances at the feet of those with whom you enjoyed your pastimes. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purport. O Gaurachandra, I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of those Vaishnavas who attained the happiness of your association and who have become glorious by engaging in your service. Se sabagoshtirapaye mora namaskar. Karle, sange bihar. Sange tumi karila bihar. It's interesting, again he says, Mora Namaskar. Not only do we have Mora Prananath, Mora Shachinandan, Mora Krishna, my Shachinandan, Mora Giridhari, Mora Radha, my Radha. We even have Mora Namaskar. We have my obeisances. Please, and what do we say when we go to, we approach a Vaishnava? We say, please accept my. Please accept. Krishnadas, please accept humble obeisances. Please accept humble obeisances. Please accept the obeisances. We say, please accept my obeisances from coming from me, from my core of my being, from my heart, from my mind. My mind. I want to offer my mind at your feet. I want to offer my heart at your feet. I want to offer my body at your feet. Mora namaskar. So here, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is concluding this chapter of Mahaprakash Leela, the conclusion of Mahaprakash Leela. He's concluding it by saying, I'm offering obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm offering my obeisances to Nityananda. Then he's saying, Jara jara sange tumi karila bihar, sei sava goshtira paye mora namaskar. I'm offering my obeisances at the feet of everyone you enjoyed your pastimes with. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur was not so fortunate. He was not there for the Shataprahariya Leela and Shivas Thakur's house and Shivas Angam. Vrindavan Das Thakur was not there. He heard about them. He wrote about them. And he's seeing them by his samadhi and while he's writing. But he's praying. He's offering his obeisances to all those fortunate devotees that were there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Actually, I was hearing, this is a very interesting point. In the Gaudiya Vaishnav culture, this point about offering obeisances, that when one goes to the Harikatha, when one goes to hear a Harikatha, there's a traditional approach which is often presented, because in the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, a lot of the fine points were not really taught to us because we weren't so cultured to begin with. But as time goes on, we hear more about the full experience of the culture. And as we hear about the different aspects of the culture and how they're applied, we appreciate how they're congruous with the actual Siddhanta, the Gaudiya Siddhanta, which is based on humility and submission and appreciation of the Vaishnavas and of the holy Granth and of the speaker of the Granth. In fact, we are warned that the Granta itself, the Shastra, the scripture, the holy book, it is such an important aspect of our culture that we have to be very careful not to make offense. There are only 10 offenses, primary offenses, 10 offenses listed, and one of them is Shastra Ninda. Shastra Ninda. There's Vaishnav Ninda and Shastra Ninda, to offend the Shastras. So the traditional approach, for example, if one is going to Harikatha, firstly he offers obeisances to the Katha Kshetra, the Katha Stali, because wherever Harikatha is spoken, say I go to Calcutta and I set up a pandal and I'm going to speak Bhagavat Saptaha there. I'm going to speak 7 days of glory of Bhagavatam. So wherever the glories of the Lord are spoken, wherever the glories of Radha and Krishna are spoken, that place becomes the spiritual world. That kshetra, that demarcated area, they may demarcate the area with some shamayan or whatever they call it, some cloth around the borders or some fencing. That area where the Harikatha is spoken, that becomes Vaikuntha. If it's Vishnu Katha. If it's Radha Krishna Katha, it becomes Vrindavan. Non-different from Vrindavan. So that Kshetra, that's like Sandini Shakti. It's like Balaram. It's Braj Mandal. So when one approaches the Harikatha, first he offers obeisances to the Kshetra, the Katha Kshetra, where the Harikatha is being spoken. That he puts his head on that sacred land. And then he offers his obeisances to all the hearers, all the listeners, all the bhakta-log, all the sub-bhakta-log, the Vaishnav Mandal, the bhakta-gan, the Vaishnav Mandal. He offers his obeisances to all the Vaishnavis and the Vaishnavas that are assembled there to hear the Harikatha. So that's two times. And then next thing he does, he offers his obeisances to the speaker of the Bhagavatam, who's speaking the or Gita, the Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. He offers to the pundit or the sannyasi or Vaishnava, Vaishnavi, whomever. And then he offers obeisances to the holy scripture, the holy Granth. So, in this way, with a straw, danta trina, with a straw between the teeth, the Vaishnava approaches the Hari Katha Stali, the place where the Hari Katha is being spoken. He approaches in a very reverential manner, in a very respectful manner. And he approaches the dust of that holy place. He approaches the dust of the Vaishnavas gathered there. He approaches the dust of the speaker, and he approaches the dust of the Shastra, you can say the feet of the Shastra, by submitting himself there. This is the traditional. And if you have the opportunity to attend Harikatha, gatherings where people are speaking, Harikatha in Vrindavan or other places where the culture is followed, you'll see this going on. You'll see with your own eyes people come, and first men will offer dandavats to the place from a distance, and then they come and offer dandavats to the devotees. And not in a showy way, they don't disturb anyone, but in their own private way. And then to the speaker, then they sit. So it's very touching to the heart. Because generally we, not raised in this culture, Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, we are raised in a very casual culture. We are, I don't know what kind of culture, no culture. We were just raised, or somehow grew up. We're raised in a so-called culture where everything's casual, it's all equal, everyone's equal, it's all casual, there's no high or low, and no one respects authority, especially the generation, our generation, my generation. That was the theme: reject authority, reject the parents, do your own thing. So when you see this, if people come to the Harikatha with such humility, then actually you understand how Krishna will be pleased. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is giving this example of Vaishnava culture, Vaishnava attitude, Vaishnava approach. He's offering obeisances. So now, let's take this, I'm taking it to contemporary Harikatha. Now I will take this principle to the study of Shastra. And this is how we can get the most out of our study of Shastra. And generally, when we hear about studying Shastra, we'll learn all about how to outline the high points of the outline the chapter points, and then who the speaker is, what's the time period, what are the questions asked in the chapter, what are the answers, what is the underlying theme, what is the context, what is the continuing theme from the previous chapter. There's all kinds of these subjects are taught in the various institutes. And this is also correct. Analysis and understanding. How is this chapter revealing the three points of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana? Then how is this chapter answering the questions? Or let me apply these six questions to this particular chapter. Who, what, who's speaking, what's going on, where is it going on, when is it going on, why is it going on, how is it going on? And we analyze. But there's another very important point which sometimes is not taught in relation to studying Shastra. It's taught, maybe not here, but it is taught. And that's the whole, this is because there's the Shastra and the Shlokas, but then there's the heart matter. There's the subject matter. What is the subject matter of the chapter? Then there's another thing going on which is equally important, or maybe more important, ultimately more important. What is the heart matter? What is the subject matter of this book? What is the subject matter of this chapter? What is the message? What is the philosophy? What is the siddhanta? What is the tattva? Okay, that's very nice. But now let's go to the heart of the matter. Let's penetrate deeper to the heart of the matter. There's the subject matter, then there's the heart matter. There's the rasas in the heart of the speaker. There's the rasas in the heart of the actors, the nayak and nayaka, the heroine and hero of this chapter. There's the heart, the rasas flowing there. They're prem sambandha with Bhagavan. They're prem sambandha with each other in the chapter. What is there? And Brihad Bhagavatamrita, of course, brings a lot of these points out to some extent. with a deeper study. But this is part of one's study, his own study of any individual Shastra. So therefore, to have access to someone's treasures, if we want to attain access to someone's treasures or jewels, we have to become very close to that person. We have to become trusted. That person has to trust us and consider us a friend. Before, oh yeah, my treasure's behind the painting. Behind the painting in the living room, there's a wall safe built into the wall, and you move the painting, open the safe, and you can take out all my treasures and jewels. And this is the combination. Here's the combination to the safe. No, it's not so quickly, easily you tell any rickshaw wala about your private gold storage, your bangles and necklaces and gems and jewels. So therefore, the great treasures in the hearts of Shukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, or Vidura, or Maitreya, or Uddhav, their hearts, the subject of their heart, the treasures of their heart, this is really what we want to collect, what we want to experience, what we want to derive from studying Shastra. Because we say, which you must have heard this term, I should think so, that generally the scriptures in the Gaudiya Sampradaya are known as Bhakti Shastra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan. And he gave them four duties to do. He said, Bhakti Shastra Likana. And then he said, Murti, Sri Murti Stapana, Sri Murti Seva Stapana. So to establish the worship of the Sri Murti. And Lupta Lila Stan Prakash. Reveal the hidden past, reveal the secret and hidden pastime places of Radha and Krishna. Discover the hidden past places of pastime, Seva Kunj, Nidhi Ban, like this. So Bhakti Shastra Likana means go to Vrindavan and write Shastras to explain about devotional service. This is Mahaprabhu Agya. So Mahaprabhu said, write Bhakti Shastra. Rupa Goswami wrote Bhakti Shastra. Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Shastra. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Shastra. Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Shastra. Lita Madhav, Vidagdha Madhav, Hamsa Duda, Uddhava Sandesh, Utkalika Valari. All these different Shastras. Manashiksha by Das Goswami. Don Keli Chintamani, Don Keli Komodi. They're all Bhakti Shastra. So because they're Bhakti Shastra, it means that the most important aspect of studying these Shastras is not the subject matter, but the heart matter. Heart matter means devotion. Heart matter means Bhakti. Bhakti Siddhanta. You've heard this term? Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Vedanta. Now you heard this term also. Right? Bhakti Siddhanta. Siddhanta Tattva. Tattva Vidas, Yattaj Jnanam Advayam. So ours is Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta. We want Vedanta, and we want Tattva Siddhanta. But what the most important thing we want is Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. So when we approach the Shastra, we, as Vrindavan Das Thakur is humbly paying obeisances to all the listeners, and all the participants in the Krita and the Leela of the Lord, he's saying that, Vihar, you took part in the Lord's pastimes, I'm offering my obeisances unto you. So similarly, when we approach the Shastra, we offer our obeisances, we pray to Suta Goswami, I'm offering my heartfelt prayer to you. Please reveal your heart to me, please be kind to me, let me enter into your teachings. Let me understand your questions. So we pray, my Suta Goswami, my Shonaka Rishi, my Shukadeva Goswami, my Uddhava Mahashaya. We pray to them when we study Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. We pray, please reveal. It's very personal. We personally pray to them. I am approaching you. Please reveal the bhakti in your heart. May your teachings in this chapter, please, I'm begging. So we first we offer obeisances to Vyasadeva. And we prayed to Vyasadeva, please, I am studying your sacred teachings. Please reveal, please be kind to me. And we prayed to Shukadeva Goswami and Sutta and Shonaka. Then we pray to the different members of each chapter. Oh Kapila, please, you're teaching your mother, but what about me? I also have a relationship with you. I'm coming in your parampara. I'm also your student. I'm also your shiksha shishya. I'm studying your third canto. No, what about me? Oh Kapila, please be kind to me. So this whole humble and personal approach to the writer and compiler of the Shastra, Vyasadeva, to the speaker and speakers of the Shastra, Shukadeva, or to Maharaj Parikshit. So we pray to the author, we pray to the speakers, the sages, then we pray to the different Nayak and Nayak of each story. Then we pray to the story itself, because the Shastra is personal. The chapters are personal. And the Nayak and Nayaka, the hero and heroine of each chapter, they are living entities. They are Parishas of the Lord in many cases. So this is enjoined, that this is the deeper way to humbly pray and approach the Shastra, and to develop a personal relationship with the compiler of Shastra, the speakers of a particular chapter. And this, if one practices like this, one will see a very interesting result happens. So then again, the same principle of mamata, this mood of possession, Mora Raghunath, Mora Swarup Damodar, Mora Krishna, my Nityananda, my Gauranga, then it's my Shukadeva Goswami, my Vyasadeva. It becomes very personal. This is the mood. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanjana Vrindavana Dasa Tachu Pada Juge Gan. Accepting Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavana Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. Pada Juge Gan. So the Pada Yug, Juge, the pair of their feet. Nitai Chand, Nityananda Chand, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chand, Jan. So this is the end of the conclusion of the Lord's Mahaprakash pastimes. And tomorrow, which we already heard, a preamble or whatever they call it, we heard 10 verses in this chapter 10. A prelude to chapter 11, we heard maybe yesterday, where Vrindavan Das Thakur was glorifying his Ishtadevata. He was glorifying Nityananda. Was telling how he gives 6 great treasures, and we heard those. Chaitanya Rati, attachment and love for Lord Chaitanya, the service of Lord Chaitanya, and freedom from danger wherever we go. We heard these points yesterday. So tomorrow's chapter is the Nityananda Charitra, the characteristics of Nityananda, chapter 11. So very, very interesting transcendental pastimes of Nityananda's transcendental dealings with Mother Malini, Srivasa's wife, and his Sakyabhav, Brajabhav, his Balyabhav and Pogandabhav, Poganda Lila and Balya Lila. We'll begin to hear those wonderful narrations tomorrow by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Is there any questions? He's asking, he wants to hear the 6 again, is that what he said? He wants to hear these 6, contributions or benefits that one gets by Nityananda Kripa or Nityananda Prasad. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Nityananda Kripa, I, Nityananda Prasad. By the mercy, both are mercy, Prasad or Kripa. One gets Chaitanya Rati, attachment for Lord Chaitanya, and Apad Nahikati. By worshipping Nityananda, Nityananda Bhajan, he will not face danger anywhere. That's number 2. Number 3 is he will attain the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Dasya, Karidhan. This donation, this charity, this treasure he gives. That's number 2, that's 3. And then, he won't know anything other than the service. Then it says, Gaurachandra Chini. By the mercy of Nityananda, he will actually understand. He'll get knowledge of Gaurachandra, Gaura Tattva, which is so esoteric and difficult. But by praying the Nityananda, we can understand something about Gambhira Leela and all the Rahasya Tattva of Gauranga. So he can, Gaurachandra Chini, he can understand something about Gaurachandra, and by Nityananda Prasad, Bhakti Tattva Jani. So that's a whole other thing. He can get Bhakti Tattva. He can understand Bhakti Tattva. Of course, Bhakti Tattva includes Prema Tattva, Rasa Tattva, everything is there, Vaishnava Tattva, Bhagavan Tattva, because that's all part of Bhakti. So all these different tattvas can be revealed by Nityananda, because Nityananda is Adi Guru. And then says Stane Bhakti Paratpai. Then, by the mercy, they can achieve the platform of devotional service. So if someone is not a Gauranga Bhakta, or he's not somehow just by the mercy of Nityananda, he can become fixed just in general in Bhakti, in the service of the Lord. I think that was five. I think it's five, maybe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like this. So these are the six gifts that Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying about his... This is his prelude to glorifying his Lord Nityananda. You'll get these six wonderful things. Now I'm going to spend a whole chapter glorifying this wonderful Lord Nityananda. This Adbhuta. Adbhuta Avadut. This amazing, amazing, inconceivable descent of the Lord, Nityananda Ram. Any other question? Sri Chaitanya Bhagavad ki jai, Vrindavan Das Thakur Veda Vyas ki jai.